Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf, Investor Relations Manager, for opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Q1 and FY26 earnings conference call. We hope you have gone through our financials, press release, and the PPT, which has been posted in the Investor Relations section of our website. We have with us Mr. Vasant Rathi, Chairperson, Mr. Mukund Kabra, Full-Time Director, and Mr. Beni Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for the ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. But before we start, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information shared during this call, particularly our plans, strategies, and future outlook, may contain forward-looking statements. These statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties and are based on current expectations, forecasts, and assumptions. Actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied in these statements, influenced by a range of factors, including but not limited to economic conditions, change in government policies, regulatory developments, and other unforeseen circumstances. Recipients are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, as they are not guarantees of future performance and should not be viewed as a substitute for independent judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any such statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. So, without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Vasant.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time and extend a heartiest welcome to everyone joining us today on the conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2025. I'm happy to report that fiscal year 2026 has started on a healthy note. Despite the geopolitical tension and economic challenges, the global economy outlook is improving, and inflation also appears to be well managed. Coming to the performance of this company, reported an overall improvement on a year-on-year basis. Growth was witnessed across all business segments in which we operate. The improvement in the top line was primarily driven by robust performance in the human healthcare business, as well as continued momentum in the animal healthcare segment. We also observed an improvement in our B2C revenue in the USA. On the operational front, the raw material prices remained stable during the quarter. We have clocked highest-ever quarterly revenue. Our top line for the quarter stood at 185.9 crores, or 1,859 million, reflecting a 20% year-on-year growth and an 11% increase compared to the previous quarter. EBITDA came at 564 million, which is a 10% increase year-on-year and a 24% rise quarter-on-quarter. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 30%. Moving to profitability, our profit after tax reached 404 million, registered 16% growth year-on-year and an impressive 51% increase quarter-on-quarter. The PAT margin stood at 22% for the quarter. Now, I will take you through our segment-wise revenue performance for the first quarter of FY26 and compare it with both year-on-year and sequentially with the quarter FY25, and quarter 1 FY25. Let's begin with the human healthcare, our largest segment. Revenue for quarter 1 FY26 stood at 1,221 million, marking a 21% year-on-year growth and 19% quarter-on-quarter increase. This strong performance is an account of good demand in pharma AP sector. Human healthcare remains the core of our portfolio, contributing 65% of our total revenue. Next, we have animal healthcare. Revenue rose to 260 million, reflecting 51% increase year on year and 24% growth quarter on quarter. This improvement is due to increased traction in the domestic and Asian markets. Animal healthcare now accounts for 14% of our total revenue. Turning to bioprocessing, this segment recorded revenue of 236 million, while there was 6% decline year on year and a 15% sequential drop. We believe that this is a temporary dip. The food business degrew by 11% on year-on-year basis and 24% on Q-on-Q basis. The non-food business grew by 11% on year-on-year basis and 28% on the Q-on-Q basis. The segment still contributes a notable 13% to the overall business. Lastly, in specialized manufacturing, we reported 142 million in Q1 FY revenue, up 29% year on year, although slightly down 8% quarter on quarter. This segment represents 7% of our overall revenue. We have taken a step forward in our clean energy sustainability initiative. One of our subsidiaries, JC Biotech, is collaborating with Rayrat Solar Power Systems. This move aims to meet our electricity requirements through solar energy in a cost-effective and sustainable manner with a long-term perspective. Additionally, we have established a new subsidiary, Advanced Nutrazyme Private Limited, which will focus on the sales and distribution of company's nutrition and wellness product range. We anticipate this growth trajectory continues in all our segments in coming times. We will bring more resilience in our business to enhance long-term sustainability value proposition for all our stakeholders going ahead. With this, I will now hand over the call to Rauka-ji. He will walk you through the financials and key subsidiary numbers. Rauka-ji.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health and doing well. The financial performance on consolidated basis for the first quarter of fiscal 2026. On year-on-year basis, our revenue increased by 20% from 1,545 million to rupees 1,859 million. Our EBITDA increased by 10% from rupees 512 million to rupees 564 million, which is about 30% of our sales. Profit before tax increased by 13% from rupees 487 million to rupees 549 million. Profit after tax increased by 16% from 350 million to rupees 404 million, which is about 22% of our sales. On sequential basis, Q-on-Q, revenue increased by 11% from 1,672 million to 1,859 million. EBITDA increased by 24% from rupees 456 million to rupees 564 million. Profit before tax increased by 26% from 435 million to rupees 549 million. Profit after tax increased by 51% from rupees 267 million to rupees 404 million. Regarding our subsidiary numbers, JC Biotech revenue stood at rupees 211 million EBITDA of 33 million and PAT of 14 million during the quarter as compared to rupees 159 million, 24 million and 7 million respectively. Evoque's top line stood at rupees 70 million with EBITDA of 14 million and PAT of rupees 7 million during the quarter as compared to rupees 47 million and negative EBITDA of 7 million and PAT negative of 15 million respectively during the corresponding quarter of FY25. Cytec's sales stood at rupees 145 million with EBITDA of 4 million and negative PAT of 8 million during the quarter as compared to the top line of 111 million, 22 million and 10 million respectively in Q1 of FY25. Our largest product, which is anti-inflammatory enzyme, stood at the sales stood at 417 million, about 22% of our top line during quarter one, as compared to 18% in Q4 and Q1 of last year, also 18%. Top 10 customer contributed about 27% during the quarter as compared to 23% in Q1 of FY25. For financial year 25, it was about 22%. B2C segment has contributed about 1.28 million during the quarter as compared to 0.95 million during Q1 of last year. Let me also give you human health and nutrition revenue breakup. So our pharma business stood at 593 million during the quarter as compared to 377 and 375. Probiotic about 10 million as compared to 14 million and 39 million. Biocatalysis about 56 million as compared to 7 million and 74 million. Our international business from human nutrition was about 562 million as compared to 633 and 523 in Q1. So total human healthcare segment is about 1,221 million as compared to 1,031 in Q4 and 1,011 million in Q1 of FY25. Our R&D spending is about 86 million during this quarter as compared to 76 million in Q1 of last year. We have spent about 5% of our consolidated revenue on research and development, which excludes, you know, our intercompany elimination. And net of intercompany elimination, we have spent about 3% of our consolidated revenue on research and development. That was from my side. Now we open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Shubham Sehgal from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my first question was, so what led to high growth in our animal and human nutrition segment?
Yeah, so it's a Shailashi, it's all the product mixes. It's not just like one or two or few, but it's like an overall product and some of the export as well as some of the domestic market. The projects which were working from last 1 year or 2 years in the export market, they started getting materialized. So it's an overall growth rather than just a one or two products.
Can we like see this growth sustaining?
Well, it seems to be like as we were like talking about it, but the things are like very, I cannot like comment on the how the things will pan out in the coming days, but as of now, the way we look at it, this is more or less sustainable. Did I answer your question, Shubhamji?
Hello. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, my second question was that in the previous quarter, we mentioned that the gross margins were mainly lower due to the true-up of inventory valuation that we did. And we had stated that like going forward, we will maintain our gross margins in the range of 76% to 77%. But again, this quarter, if we see, we have seen lower gross margins. So what would be the reason for this and like any outlook going forward?
No, I think, Shubham, you are connecting the one-off adjustment for Q1 in FY25. That's what I think we have spoke earlier. But I think the gross margin is likely, the gross contribution, that is what we say, generally remains to be about, you know, 72 to 73% in that range.
Okay, okay, got it. My next question was, so like on our main product, potassium fertilizers, so any price impact, are we seeing any price impact and how, like, how is it sustaining now?
Well, there is somewhat like price impact, but what we can say is this quarter there was a little bit on a higher side on the sale front. But overall, that is not the only one product which we are focusing right now. We are focusing on many other areas, including the other products as well as like the biocatalysts and other areas as well.
Okay, so as you mentioned the biocatalysts, have you started any commercial work as of now with the API manufacturers? As we see in our annual report also, we've mentioned that we are in the advanced trial phases. But have we moved to the commercial work? And in general shift in the industry from chemicals to enzymes, how far along are we? Like, how are we seeing this shift unfold?
So, to give you the specific answer, there is like some sales in this quarter on that front, but that is still smaller, on the smaller side. We are working on it, but some of the commercial sales started in this quarter.
Okay. How well are we placed to take the advantage of this shift? What would be like the potential scale of these engagements?
I think it takes another one or two quarters to really come out with the answers on this front. As of now, we are well placed. That's all what I can say.
Yeah,
okay. On the market end, we are seeing this shift happen. Like around that, if you could just, you know, give some color.
There are like a lot of factors which are still like we need to evaluate how the pharma market comes up. How is the U.S. tariff on pharma and other areas moves? Because those are very very important factors. You cannot just like decide on one or two like where you stand. But you need to look into the global picture and how the things will pan out. So as of now, it's very, very murky situations. And I think we need to give some more one or two quarter time to really come out the things.
Okay, okay, got it. And as you mentioned tariffs, so like the new tariffs which were mentioned, like what kind of impact could we see because of that?
yeah, you know that answer very well. So, of course, it impacts everything, na? Shubham. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a global market. We are in a global market, so it is going to impact everywhere.
Okay, but like, will we see some as we have manufacturing in US as well?
See, the way we look at it is like I can talk only on the direct, indirect things. How it will pan out is very difficult to predict as of now. But if you really talk about direct, probably like our export is in the tune of to the US is about 50 crore or so. So we might have like about 12.5 crore impact. But again, it again depends. That's the worst scenario to look at it. Again, it depends how the Europe and Japan and other countries' tariffs comes up and how the players in the market plays their role, and we can come out after that with the exact impact.
Okay, got it. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Umangji.
Yes, sir. Please go
ahead. Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, the first question was, our gross margins have always been above 75% for the long time in our history. But over last two quarters, they have come to around 72%, 73%. Last quarter, there was some issue with the largest product that we had to our understanding. Sir, what has happened in this quarter? And for the full year, what are the rough margins that you're working with?
So this is like, you know, impact of some change in the product mix. And apart from that, you know, some impact is also because as even in the first quarter, if you really see that some tariff has already been imposed in the USA. So to some extent, I think the impact is here again on the gross contribution. And when we talk about the Q4, I think that was mainly, I think we already spoke about truing up of the valuation of the inventory. So there was kind of, you know, some impact of that also. Going forward, gross margin could be anywhere between 73 to 75%. That's what is the range I think we can look at it. This is, I think, gross contribution I'm talking about because of, you know, some impact will also be there from the tariff. So as of now, this is what we are looking at it. But as, like, you know, things will, you know, you will get some kind of a certainty as you move forward.
Right, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. And sir, in the Q4 call, Mukund sir was quite excited about, quite optimistic about this year's growth. He had mentioned mid double digit growth for this year. Do we continue to hold on to that, or has there been any change? Of course, tariff and everything is a bit of uncertainty, but assuming that everything remains same.
So assuming everything remains same, so we are still like optimistic, Umangji, and we still feel that we should be able to maintain our guidance.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. And just, sir, one additional question was, if you just look at human nutrition India business, we were able to get revenues of 66 crores in this quarter, which is one of the highest that we've actually achieved. So one of course, is the resurgence of the largest product that we have. Anything else that you would like to call out in terms of how in the wise India business in human nutrition doing so well?
So as I said, like it's a overall product, overall customer additions, overall like what we were working from the last 1 year or 2 years, even into the Asian market and other areas as well. So it's a impact of overall scenario, not just one area.
Right, sir. And sir, when are we estimating the new R&D facility to be commissioned?
We expect in the last quarter of this year.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Manji.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek from Padmaja Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible, sir?
Yes,
sir, my question one is on what is the current tariff rate that we have? Like, is it same across all our products or not?
So the last quarter it was 10%. As of now, we don't know. And the more clarity will emerge as we move on.
Okay. My second is, are we planning for more inventory in US to...
So in the last quarter, we did like some additional inventory.
Abhishek, we are already in the tariff things, right? Now anything, you cannot add any inventories now at a lower cost.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got it. And my second and my last question is on
that
animal nutrition.
That was a question 6 months ago.
Sorry, sir. I didn't get it. Sorry, sir.
That Abhishek, you mean to say that was a more, I mean, like, we should have answered that question 6 months before.
6 months ago to
because that time there was no tariff, right? So,
okay.
Yes, but some of, like, the corrections we did in the last quarter, and probably, like, we will wait and watch for another one quarter, and then we'll see how to move forward.
Okay. On the animal nutrition part, like, there was a big jump this quarter. Like, is there anything that has worked? Like, do you want to comment on that?
Again, the same thing. Like, it's like the overall growth, what I would say, yeah, including, like, domestic market as well as, like, the export market. Whatever the projects we are working from last 1 year or 2 years, few of them started getting materialized.
Some of them are prompting out, giving some results now.
Okay. And this is my last question, sir. How are the competitors getting, are they trying to undercut us? Like, are they also trying, is there any price war kind of a scenario that might play out with this tariffs? Like, are you seeing any indications for that?
Let me answer that question. Abhishek, you know that when the prices are going to go up, everybody understands that in the tariff war, right?
Yeah.
In the business, you got to find out where I can get a secondary source of supply at cheaper prices. So it is going to be always people are going to find some other, trying to find alternatives. And naturally, industries has to accommodate and adjust accordingly. There might be some pressures on the pricing, of course. You may not, you know, and the margins.
Okay. So we are actually, so in summary, can we say that we are actually taking up most of the tariff and rather than passing it to the consumer or the other counter business party?
No, I'm not saying anything of that nature. You have to readjust the businesses. See how. We want to have a growth with the margins, right?
Yeah.
So it is also what tariffs comes, which country is competing with you, etc. There is not a uniform brush to everyone. There are different tariffs for different countries and different people and industries and so on and so forth. So we are very, very mindful of it, I can tell you that, and management is very aware of how to. We see a lot of times this might be a good opportunity in a lot of different sectors.
Sir, if I can actually, I have one last question, sir. Like, are any of our products come in the pharma market?
They are neutral market, pharma market, both the places. It works. I mean.
Okay. Because pharma is exempted, right, as of now, under Section 232. So I'm asking you this question. Like, are there any?
We are not in the pharma sector, but we do supply to pharma. Enzymes doesn't come in the pharma.
Okay. That's all, sir. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you.
Before we move to the next participant, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and congratulations on strong sales growth in this quarter. Just a couple of things, and I think you've already spoken about the various segments like human nutrition and the animal nutrition, which showed very strong growth this quarter. Can you just share your, you know, medium-term outlook and strategy towards, you know, sustaining growth? Because growth has been a bit patchy over the last few years for us. So as an organization, what are the areas that we kind of are optimistic about, what are the areas where we have reasonably good pipeline visibility from our customers, which of the segments kind of, you know, offer that opportunity. If you could just show some light or some thing that we can, you know, kind of look forward to as investors, right, over the next, you know, few years.
Ravi, this is an uncertain time at this point in time, but right. Nothing has changed as far as we are concerned in the company. Mm-hmm. We have particularly certain segments like health and human nutrition and animal nutrition. We see that will, our focus will be to expand that as much as we can and continue growth on this one area and keep on adding the other sectors which we are working on for some time. So it is the management is continuously trying to see that we keep a double-digit growth and improve our competitiveness in the global market and mm-hmm. also walk through this Terry 4. We'll see what happens. It will take 3 months, 6 months, who knows. Maybe tomorrow morning our president will grow up, you know, wake up with a different scenario.
But to add to that, Raviji, like our most of the sales or this comes on a R&D basis, and we are more R&D companies, and there will be some times like when there will be no growth, and there will be some time there will be high growth. So you can't just go on like quarter on quarter on the segment wise or this wise. You have to analyze it overall. But yeah, over a longer run, we need to grow with those spaces, and that is what we planned. But sometimes there will be no growth as well, like the last year what we had.
Right, which is I was asking about, you know, medium term, like 2 to 3 years, not specific to, you know, this year or the next year.
So we should keep our momentum as we have got right.
Okay. And so two other questions. One is we've set up this 100% subsidiary to kind of, you know, do our consumer products, so to speak, right, B2C products, the Welfa. So is there any thoughts that you can share? Is this JV being formed so that we can tie up with somebody else? Because we have historically been B2B company, and I think I've asked this question earlier also on the call, that we have been a B2B company and not necessarily a B2C company. And, you know, some of the products that we are, which are currently available, like, so I have tried a couple of products like, you know, Welfa, Truism, Too Slim or something like that, right? Now, there are like a lot of these products on the quick commerce space and, you know, on Amazon, various other platforms, and all these seem like a quick commerce product. Like, they don't seem to be like modern trade products. So is there any strategy or thought, or, you know, how do you kind of, and I'm assuming some of the other products you must be supplying, you know, the raw material or maybe even helping them white label, you know, some of the products. So if you could just share your thoughts on that, it would be very helpful for us.
Yeah, this segment is a very startup segment for us, right? Mm-hmm. As you know very well. We are looking at a global platform right now, including there are B2C markets in the US also. We do for a long time, which mm-hmm. is clubbed into total overall sales. But we are trying to see that this segment is given different attention because it is a very different segment than B2B. Yeah. And we have a good base now. A lot of good strategies are there which we wanted to expand that market. And we'll be working on that for next this year and to expand the market as much as we can.
Yeah, so is our idea to do it ourselves, or let's say, you know, we've seen a lot of, you know, companies tie up with, let's say, large pharma companies in India who have a very strong distribution network, or even nutraceutical companies who have very strong B2C platform where they already have a very strong distribution network. It's only a question of actually, you know, supplying products in that. So if this 100% subsidiary that we've created,
Ravi, we are right now expanding our distribution networks
okay.
gradually.
Mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't impact. You know that B2C business is lot of times losing business. You know, you have to put a lot of into distribution channels. So we will do so, and then right time comes, we'll look into all other possibilities.
Okay.
There has to be some base needs to be developed.
Okay. And the last question on Evox, right? So we've had this acquisition for a fairly long period of time. And I think over the years on the con calls, we've mentioned that we should see Evox as more as a cost center from the point of view of doing cutting edge R&D and, you know, doing a lot of that work there. So is and I think a few years back we had some tie up with Simrise also to kind of do some co-development on, you know, some products or something. So can you share some, like, how has Evox evolved over the last 2-3 years? Are there more tie-ups that it is, or are there more co-developed products that it is working on? Is there more flow of products or tech IP from them? Just a peek into Evox. We have absolutely no idea what happens in Evox. So it would be great if you could share something.
This is an as mentioned to before, and you acknowledged, this is a R&D company. Basically, we have a very, very good tractions, and going forward, see, we have an integrated approach of total research, manufacturing, and then converting into sales. So this will continue to happen. That is a foothold little bit in Europe, and Europe is a fortress, difficult to penetrate sometimes, feels like it. But our research wise, we are very, very, very happy, and as soon as you see our R&D centers get into the thing, lot of contribution from this Evox right now on our research work. Okay. Cutting edge research. We're doing very good research work.
In terms of contracts, like, there are like some of the contracts, but this is an ongoing process revision. And but you should always look at it as a revenue neutral or just EBITDA positive. And we are not really looking at it as a major sales engine.
Right. Okay. Those were my questions. Thanks a lot, and I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shreyansh Gathani from SG Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I had a few questions. So the first one was on the R&D expenditure. So like the last couple of years, we've been mentioning that we want to, you know, target higher R&D expenditure. But if I look at the, you know, numbers, we're not able to, you know, we've not gotten to what we were saying. Like, even this quarter is like, I think, 3%. So just wanted to get some sense on that, and like, along with that, you know, the kind of product pipeline that you have intended to launch this year, if you could give some color on those two.
So R&D spending, Shreya, here, it does not include whatever amount we are spending on new R&D setup. This is, you know, we are putting at Nasik. So far, those expenses we have not included in this R&D expenditure, because that's under, like, you know, work in progress. We already spent about 48 crores, but that we have not included in our R&D spending so far. And about the product lines, I think Mukund will give some flavor on that. What exactly we are doing on R&D.
So, and what you mentioned 3%, but that doesn't include what we spend in the intercompany, for example, in Evox and other areas. So when we take account of that, it's more than 5% or
yeah,
around.
We 5%. Are somewhere between 5-6%, right?
Yeah, and what we were mentioning is it might go up by another 1% or somewhere as we move on when the new center will start. So that is how it was, the number which we are coming from. Now, as of the R&D is concerned, like, we have all different types of R&Ds and different products, and it's coming into the all the sections. It's not just like one area, but some of the products are in the human nutraceutical, some of the products are into the food areas, and some products are in the biocatalyst as well as animal feed area. So that's all what I can say, rather than going more specific onto it.
Yeah, and there you mentioned that we have some tie-ups also. They are slow taking off, but the multinationals never know how their plans are.
Got it. And second question, I think you already touched upon that, but just trying to get like a long-term structural margin structure. So like the last, you know, 5-7 since our listing, you know, we've had, you know, typically if I just look at EBITDA as such, like, you know, it's 40%+, and now we've come to like a 30% level, and we're saying that we should be maintaining there. So structurally, what has changed in terms of, you know, our products, or has competition come up, or we're not able to fetch that kind of margins as we could, you know, for the last 7-8 years?
So I think earlier, the margins what we are talking about is, you know, I think a couple of years was because of the accelerated sales, and, you know, that was the COVID era, where, like, you know, you have a lot of products for immunity building and those kind of, you know, products with probiotics and a lot of combination of it for addressing, you know, various immunity development related products. So it was sort of like, you know, higher margin during those period. And prior to that, what you are referring is, of course, when we get a lot of contribution from our US market, we always higher margins. But over a period of time, you know, the adjustment always happens. And there are, like, you know, always pressure on the pricing, and so that inflated input cost has also, like, you know, to some extent, or largely I can say, has contributed in erosion of our EBITDA margin. With accelerated sales during COVID periods, that has gone down drastically. So all this have put pressure on the EBITDA margin. So currently the EBITDA margin, if you really look at 24-25, so we are in the range of about 30-33%. And that's what we are saying, that we shall be in a position to maintain that margin.
Got it. So but would that margin, you know, reflect into higher growth as such, like, or are we, you know, this is what, like, the margin profile has come to, like, in terms of, you know, like, how does that impact any kind of growth? Like, should we see higher growth because, you know, we are at a lower margin as such, or is that just like erosion of the US business which has caused this to happen?
There is no erosion in the US business.
When we are talking about 21 years, like, we lost one customer. It's a factor of many things. It's not just one. But yes, I would say that to summarize, it's a combination of all.
Okay. And so this Serratiopeptidase, you know, one of the competitors that just got listed, like, large company, they mentioned that they are able to get good margins on that. So just trying to get a sense on how you look at this year for that, like, sustain, like, I think this quarter might have been like 40 crore of sales for that product versus 27 crore or something. So is that something that you expect to do better? Because your commentary has been that we are not going to see much growth in that product as such. And there's also pressure in margins.
I would still, like, maintain that we will not have a great growth into those areas, but we are working on many other areas as well, right? So I would still like to maintain that if the growth comes, that is good and good, but we'll see as we move on.
Okay, got it. All right, that's all I had on my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rajas Joshi from Chris Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Rajas.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be on the gross margins. You highlighted a negative impact of the change in product mix. So this would largely be related to our largest product?
No, it's not only one. That's what we are saying. It is, like, you know, various different products which we are supplying to. Sometimes what happens, human nutrition, like, there are probiotics, biocatalysis, and several other products. So we generally, like, you know, when we see that US is going good, then you have a better margin overall basis. And if US numbers are like flattish or slightly down, then you immediately see the kind of a impact on that. So it is like, you know, many more such things. And even in animal nutrition also, there are several products. So few products are giving very good margin. Few products, like, you know, short of kind, you know, a commodity in that sense because of the market. So this is a different profile and change in sales mix, which really impacts the overall gross margin.
Understood, sir. And secondly, in the biocatalyst piece, could you highlight a couple of examples probably just to understand what exactly are you trying to do here and how that feeds into the larger picture, both on margins and revenue?
So we generally like trying to replace the chemical process by enzymatic ways, and we develop those specific enzymes for that particular manufacturing of either for API or any other industry. It's not just limited to the API, but it can be, let's say, perfume industry or any other industry for that matter. It can be for the agriculture industry as well.
Okay. Thanks.
It's based mostly on the like organic chemistry, particularly.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, the first question was with respect to tariffs. So 10% tariff has been in place since April 2025. So when you are negotiating with your customers, are we able to pass on this tariff impact? And if not, to what extent are we able to?
Not so far.
Okay, so you're taking the entire... Like,
wait and watch, yes? Scenario as of now.
Okay, so as of now, whatever you're shipping, you are taking that 10% price in your cost structure and then passing it on, rather than passing it on.
Yes, as of now, that is what we did.
Okay, sure, sir. Sir, and just one small question was the employee cost increase. Any reason for the same in this quarter?
Employee cost increase, you tell me. I mean, this is increase continuously going to happen in a market like here or in US, where the market.
It's a both, like it's a normal salary raises as well as the addition of
expansion, new additions,
right?
Headcount,
right. That is in India or in US?
Both areas.
All the areas, in fact.
All right. Thank you.
We want a long-term growth. Right,
Umang?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, sir.
Thank you.
But Umangji, sorry.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Umangji, you need to look, when you are looking for the salary increase, you need to look on the previous quarter and this quarter rather than the quarter on quarter.
Got it. Fair point, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ketan R. Cheda and retail investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is, sir, in the last call, Mr. Mukund mentioned that you were looking at some kind of an intermediate business. Could you throw some light on that? Was it something that you were trying to develop it organically, or that was some kind of an acquisition that you were looking at?
Kiranji, I already mentioned that, like, we did like some of the sale of that as well, but I think like it's too premature because there are a lot of factors which are playing as of now. In the next one or two quarters, when once the picture gets clear, we will like to put more light on that.
Okay, so just for the clarification, it's a product that we have developed ourselves, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not nothing to do with any acquisition as such.
Not with the acquisition.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. That was my question. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Kitesh.
Thank you. Before we move to the next participant, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Neha Karodia from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. My first question was regarding the growth. So if I look at our long 3 to 5 years kind of CAGR growth, it has been in 6 to 7% kind of range. And this quarter has been about 20%. I understand that we had guided for better growth for this year, but just wanted to understand, is it FY26 phenomena, or we should over the medium term should see, let's say, 15-20% kind of growth going forward?
Naji, I won't say that 15-20%. I would say that double digit. I won't say that 20%. That is too optimistic. It doesn't mean that like it's not possible. But I would always go with like a double digit over a longer run.
But sir, in that, is there any structural change, because underlying industry is growing, let's say, at about 6% kind of range, and we also have been growing in line. So anything structural that is changing from this year, which can lead to higher growth and increase in the demand also in that sense?
Yeah, as we mentioned before, it always takes some time, and we are working on it for some time now. So some of them paid off right now, some of them will pay it off little bit later. And of course, the environment changes impact whatever it is we are doing at that particular time in current time. So when you are totally integrated company, research and development is a very critical part of developing new products, new services, and new areas to grow.
Yes, sir. And then also just one more thing on the growth aspect, if I may ask. So do we foresee any regulatory kind of changes which can increase, let's say, uptake of the enzyme versus the chemicals, which is probably cheaper and easy to get for the end customer? So like anything that pushes the demand for enzymes?
We don't know as of now, but when we look into the well-developed countries, those norms are more towards the green chemistry, particularly into the biocatalyst. As we move on, like what will happen in India, we have to wait and watch. But if it happens, that will always be positive.
And regulatory hurdles are going to keep on increasing.
Okay. Got it. And also on the probiotic segment, so if I look at the probiotics, the addressable market, it is humongous, and I think the underlying market itself is growing at 17-18% kind of CAGR. So we last year had about 6% contribution in revenue from that. So do we foresee any more product launches, and probably that can lead, that can be a significant portion of our business in 2 to 3 years from now?
It's see, when we talk about probiotic, there are a lot of blends what we sell contains probiotics as well as enzymes, and it's very difficult to like segregate, separate, and really come out with the numbers. So here, when we talk about probiotic, it's an individual one, but our focus is more with the solutions rather than just the one product, and it's very difficult to predict at this point of time like how much is going to be the growth in either in probiotics alone, because that's more like a commodity sale.
Understood. And so just last two questions from my side, if I may ask. So one is on what was the volume growth in this quarter on a console level? And second thing was on the, let's say, so we have this Serratio Peptidase product, which is from the pharma part, it is the biggest chunk. So can we see going forward a few products which can be in 2 to 3 years or 3-4 years down the line, which can be similar to this product?
So we don't measure the volume growth, because our some of the products are sold at 40 rupees and some of the products are sold at 1 lakh rupees kg as well. So we don't really count in terms of volume. Of course, there might be some more volumes, but we really don't count in terms of volumes. As far as the different products are concerned, we are working on many other products, and probably some of them will come out. How how big they will be is difficult to predict at this point of time.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering the question.
Thank you,
Neha.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chandramouli Jagannathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. You are saying tariff impact is only for 50 crores. You mean to say your contribution to USA is only 50 crores from India for the whole year or for this quarter?
For whole year.
It's for whole year what we are talking about. It's like from India to USA.
Okay.
For the last year. Roughly, it's closer to that.
Roughly. Yeah, that's fine, sir. Sir, you were saying during your AGM, your current capacity utilization is about 50%. And you are likely to touch 80% in 2 years. Is it intact?
It's very difficult in our areas to really come out with the percentage of the capacity utilizations because there are many products and they do have a different cycles, and it's very difficult to say how much exact percentage it is being utilized. But I would say that it's not a 50%, it's 60-65%, somewhere around that range. And whenever it will come to 80%, we will go for the next capacity extension round. Will it come in 2 years? Yes, we hope so, but we'll see.
But from time to time, we are keep on adding a little bit of capacities, okay?
And at the same time, there is like, we do a lot of research as well, right? So sometimes like you empty your capacity by increasing the output as well. So it's a combination of many other factors as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all for me. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raghvendra, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Please go ahead with your question, sir. As there is no response from the participant, ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Shreyans Gatani from SG Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. So just wanted to ask about the patents that we filed for and the EFSA and the GRAS dossiers. If you could highlight on, you know, which areas they are in, like the ones that we filed, newly, and the approvals that we got for the dossiers, if you could highlight on that and what kind of market we see, and have we started any kind of sales on that front?
That is from the neutral market. Patent is filed in the various different market segments, and the sales I cannot identify whether that is, there is a definitely the market is now with the research and patents, and they will reflect on the future sales.
And some of the filing is on the EFSA side, is on the baking side as well.
Yeah.
On the food side as well.
Got it.
That is for the EFSA in European market.
Okay. So just trying to understand, like, have we started, because of that, have we seen any kind of increase in sales in Europe?
Definitely, lot of interest. Okay, whenever you have a patent and when you have separating and identifying in marketing place, so there is a lot of interest in that. The interest needs to be converted into real sales, in a volume.
So when we talk about EFSA, like if you don't have a EFSA registration, probably you will not be able to sell going forward.
Yeah.
So rather than saying that whether you can, whether you got the sales or no sales, basically even to maintain your current business, you need to go and file and to add on some of the products as we move on.
Okay, so that's like a compulsion now to sell in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, got it. Last question on the biocatalysis, like what kind of opportunity are we looking at in terms of, you know, like our enzyme sales and like the European, like those people are, I've read some articles, you know, that they've started using that in a, you know, in certain production processes. So how are you looking at that? Are the sales mainly in the Indian region, or are they like mainly focused towards the export markets for us and like the size that you see?
Now I understand what you're saying. The opportunities are huge, right? Because
yeah.
pharma market is huge. Now the question is whether somebody is using it. It's always a cost. And how competitive it is and what is the regulatory environment for the pharma and other products, because that is where the sales are. And you just have to look at it and see, wait and see. At this point in time, there is a lot of upheaval. Everybody wants green things, but at a chemical cost.
Got it. Okay. So that's basically the price point is stopping the adoption.
That makes a big difference. Of course, the development is pretty huge for this kind of thing. Okay.
So trying to gauge like what kind of price differential, you know, would be there for like an enzymatic solution versus like a chemical.
Yeah, can I tell you that, Shreya? Because everything is different, na? How much yield comes in, what percentages you have to use, etc., etc. What are the processes are used? So every company is different and they have their different confidential methods. They try it in a different way. And we have to keep on continuously working with them.
And different product has a different structure as well.
Yeah.
You cannot just generalize it.
Okay. So if you could give some feedback that we've received from the initial sales that we made, is there any feedback that we've got from the customers on the products?
I cannot add anything further. We just keep on improving in those areas. Feedbacks are a constant process until it is established and then registered with the respective authorities. Okay? Once it is established, the processes and registered with the authorities, then that area, how much it is growing and what distributions are there. So many factors are there.
Right. Sir, I meant like feedback from the customer on the product, like in terms of the performance of the, you know, biocatalyst that we are providing. So.
So far, whatever the products we've given is excellent.
Those are accepted. Now, we need to wait and watch how the other things pan out.
Got it. Okay. All right. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raghvendra, an individual investor. Please go ahead. So please go ahead with your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, you have mentioned that we have exports of 50 CR to US from India. Am I right, sir?
What I meant to say is like last year we have a sale of 50 crore from India to US. Around.
Yes. And in that, 12.5 crore is the impact of tariff. And the other 38.5 is not affected by tariff.
No, what I meant to say that if you go with the 25% duty on 50 crore, assuming that though nothing works out, nothing is there, then the duty will be about 12.5 crore and that can be the maximum impact. But again, then you need to really look into that's a gross margin impact in the worst scenario.
This is also very moving things. Who knows, tomorrow there is a, what else he can come up with, the oil penalties and things like that. So please, just leave those alone. Don't worry about too much. Let's settle these matters when it can. And you know, and then we will see what happens.
Just one question, sir. Compared to other competing nations, how are we pricing, sir? Are we like equally priced, or we are all much more competitive than them when it comes to price?
For what? For selling price?
Yes. For a product in which we are in, do we have an pricing edge over the competing nations?
We don't have any edge or any competing. It's individual product. Whatever we are, there is always. It's not a commodity. That's why we have margins, right?
Got it. That was my only question, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings conference call. We will keep you posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website and on stock exchanges in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
On behalf of Advanced Enzymes Technology Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.